This is a Kim Monson, Colorado news briefing. Initiative 195 would replace Colorado's 4.4% flat tax with rates up to 8.4%. Proponents filed petition signatures with the Colorado Secretary of State on August 3, 2026, and the office has until September 2 to decide whether the measure reaches the November 3 ballot. Legislative Council staff estimates the graduated brackets would raise $1.98 billion a year by fiscal year 2027-28. Proponents of Colorado Initiative 195 filed petition signatures with the Colorado Secretary of State on August 3, 2026, the filing deadline for the November 3 ballot. The campaign reported turning in roughly 157,000 signatures against the 124,238 the state requires. And the official ballot title tells voters that state taxes would be increased $2.7 billion annually. The measure would replace Colorado's statutory 4.4% flat income tax with six graduated brackets starting in tax year 2027, and it clears the way by striking language from the taxpayer's Bill of Rights requiring all taxable net income to be taxed at one rate. The Secretary of State has until September 2 to issue a statement of sufficiency, so Initiative 195 carries no ballot number and no proposition or amendment letter until then. The text filed with the Secretary of State sets six marginal rates. The first $25,000 of taxable income is taxed at 3.7%. Income above $25,000 and up to $100,000 is taxed at 4.2%. Income above $100,000 and up to $500,000 stays at 4.4%. Income above $500,000 and up to $750,000 is taxed at 7.4%. Income above $750,000 and up to $1 million is taxed at 7.9%. Income above $1 million is taxed at 8.4%. The same schedule would apply to corporate income. The first two bands sit below today's 4.4% rate, so the first $100,000 of any feeler's taxable income would be taxed less than it is now, and gain on the sale of a principal residence above the federal exclusion would stay at 4.4%. Those are marginal rates, applying only to the slice of income inside each band. The Legislative Council staff fiscal impact statement works an example. A taxpayer with taxable income of $600,000 would pay a tax of 3.7% on the taxpayer's first $25,000 in taxable income, 4.2% on the next $75,000, 4.4% on the next $400,000, and 7.4% on the last $100,000. The constitutional half of the measure deletes words and adds none. Article 10, Section 28. A now requires that any income tax law change after July 1, 1992, shall also require all taxable net income to be taxed at one rate. Initiative 195 would strike at one rate and the surrounding tax credit language, leaving a sentence that requires taxable net income to be taxed with no added surcharge. The newsroom covered both November measures in June. The state's nonpartisan analysts put the increase at $963.2 million in fiscal year 2026-27 and $1,981.1 million in fiscal year 2027-28. The $2.7 billion in the ballot question is the maximum those analysts estimated for fiscal year 2027-28 once forecast error is allowed for. For scale, Joint Budget Committee staff put fiscal year 2026-27 general fund operating appropriations at $17.4 billion out of $20.3 billion in total general fund available. The same official title carries a board-adopted table of the estimated change in average income tax owed by category. It shows average tax falling in every category up to $1 million, including $325 in the category running from just above $500,000 to $1 million. Above that, average tax rises by $4,764 for filers between $1 million and $2 million, and by $13,914 for those between $2 million and $5 million. The new money would be exempt from the Tabor revenue cap as a voter-approved revenue change, so none of it would be refunded. Most would flow into an account the measure creates for K-12 education, healthcare, and early childcare, and the text requires those dollars to add to current appropriations. Initiative 195 also faces a distribution test because it amends the Constitution. The Secretary of State's signature requirement page requires a constitutional initiative to be signed by at least 2% of the registered electors in each of Colorado's 35 state Senate districts. The Colorado Sun reported on August 1 that the campaign had cleared 23 of the 35 districts as of July 30, a count the campaign gave the paper. No official count exists, since the state does not publish raw totals and the petition stays sealed until the sufficiency statement issues. Colorado Politics reported that backers filed with about an hour left before the 5 p.m. deadline, and Protect Colorado's Future, the coalition behind the measure, says on its site that it submitted nearly 160,000 signatures. Campaign side counts reported since the filing have ranged from about 157,000 to about 163,000, and no official number will exist until the sufficiency statement issues. Colorado normally requires 55% approval to amend the Constitution. According to the Secretary of State's results page, the title board entered the same finding at its January 21, 2026 hearing, and again at the February 4th rehearing. The board finds that the proposed initiative only repeals, in whole or in part, a provision of the state constitution and therefore does not require a 55% majority for passage. Penn Fiffner, chairman of the Tabor Foundation, and a Colorado state representative from 1993 through 2000, discussed the filing on The Kim Monson Show on August 7. The taxpayers' Bill of Rights came about because government was growing twice as fast as people's ability to afford it, Fiffner said, and the remedy was that you've got to come to the people and get their permission. Fiffner said the single rate sentence is the protection at stake. The taxpayers' Bill of Rights has a provision in there that says all income must be taxed at one rate, he said. What these proponents are doing, what this measure does, is eliminate some of that language. He also argued that the higher rates would reach far beyond large corporations and wealthy individuals. But this applies to all the income in Colorado, Fiffner said. So think of how many family farms this is going to affect and ranches. Think of how it's going to affect professional groups like your dentist or your doctor's office. Think of how it's going to affect independent businesses. He pointed listeners to your family's Future Alliance, the issue committee opposing both Initiative 195 and Proposition NN, and has made the same case before. A competing measure backed by Advance Colorado would write the 4.4% rate into statute as a cap on individual and corporate income tax, and the group said it submitted 190,000 signatures. When two measures pass in conflict, Colorado law gives control to whichever draws more affirmative votes. The consequences are contested, and Colorado Politics reported the two campaigns giving opposite answers. Chris Dugru Kennedy, who leads the Bell Policy Center and is a designated proponent of Initiative 195, says the tax increases and the tax cuts are not severable, so a win by Initiative 232 would leave none of Initiative 195 in effect. Michael Fields, president of Advance Colorado, says the lower rates would survive. It is an all or nothing, Fields said. No court has yet ruled, and the newsroom has examined the conflict in earlier coverage. And now, Kim's perspective. Tabor is nothing more than good manners. Before the politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties take more of your money, they have to come to us and ask. Initiative 195 quietly strikes the words that say, every dollar of income gets taxed the same way. And once that protection is gone, the brackets belong to whoever holds power next. Colorado has taxed income at one rate for a generation, and that steadiness helped make this a state where people wanted to build something, and the people who build things are the ones who can leave. We should think very hard before trading a constitutional protection for a promise about how the money will be spent. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson, Colorado News Briefing.